It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. 19-year-old banjo player Trevor Hammonds never met his musical ancestors, but he's determined to make sure their legacy lives on.
I like to use a really light touch to make sure that it's exactly the same. I try to get it, you know, to my ear how it would sound exactly like he would.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. In March, the Secretary of State's office opened up absentee voting to all to allow for social distancing during the primary election. Since then, 86,000 West Virginia voters have mailed in their absentee ballots, which is 80,000 more than the last presidential primary. Emily Allen reports.
It's too soon to tell, but the Secretary of State's office says this could be the highest absentee turnout in the state's history. County clerks all over the state who send out and accept these ballots are noticing the uptick. In Wirt County, home to roughly 3,000 registered voters, there's already been 725 requests for the ballots. Cabell County has seen almost a fifth of its registered voters apply. Roger Tony is the Boone County clerk. His staff of five have received more than 2,400 requests among 15,000 registered voters.
Before, we would have between 50 and 100 absentee ballots in a whole year in an election.
Absentee ballots require a lot of work. Tony's office has to verify signatures. They have to make sure people are registered according to the party ballot they requested.
The work has basically consumed everyone here.
And there are some days his small staff work overtime. The West Virginia Secretary of State's office says it will use federal dollars from the Help America Vote Act to reimburse counties for this expense and other voting costs from COVID-19. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
West Virginians have until May 19th, that's next Tuesday, to register for the primary election. Early in-person voting starts May 27th. Election day is June 9th. Absentee ballot applications are due June 3rd. On this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia, we meet a young banjo player who is carrying on his family's musical legacy. You may recognize the Hammonds family name. They are some of West Virginia's most famous musicians, known across the world for their distinct style of old-time mountain music. Most of the family has passed on, but 19-year-old Trevor Hammonds is ensuring that their songs continue to be played. From our Inside Appalachia Folkways project, reporter Heather Nyday introduces us to Trevor's story.
This is Abe's Retreat. I learned this kind of from Dwight Diller.
This is Trevor Hammonds playing at a local radio station in Pocahontas County, West Virginia, 2 years ago, a few days before his 18th birthday. Trevor is a quiet young man who doesn't go out of his way to draw attention to himself. That is, until he picks up the banjo. At festivals and competitions, his style of banjo picking draws crowds and wins awards. The Vandalia Gathering is an annual festival held in Charleston, West Virginia, devoted to old-time and bluegrass music. At the Vandalia Gathering the past few years, he's been one of the top five musicians in the old-time banjo category, an honor usually awarded to older musicians. Trevor says he tries to preserve his family's style of music by using the same old-time Appalachian style of finger-picking on the banjo that was used by his great-grandfather Lee Hammonds and by Sherman Hammonds. It's a style of finger-picking similar to clawhammer that uses the thumb and tips of the fingers to play the strings in a downward motion. In the 1940s, Earl Scruggs introduced his bluegrass style of playing the banjo that uses picks on the thumb, index, and middle fingers that allow the musician to play the notes much faster. Trevor says he uses his family's specific clawhammer technique because he wants to see his family's unique style of music continue to be played and appreciated.
Lee had a really light touch, and when I'm playing his tunes, I like to use a really light touch to make sure that it's exactly the same. I try to get it, you know, to my ear how it would sound exactly like he would.
Trevor doesn't know how or if Lee was related to Sherman, but he does know they were good friends. He says Sherman had a very different style of playing.
Sherman, he used a really, really firm, just driving hand. You know, they had the ability to control how it sounded because they understood it, just like I do. He had to figure that stuff out. It's really hard.
He first heard Lee playing the banjo when he was 7 or 8 years old. The music was from a recording done by local musician Dwight Diller and included old-time tunes such as Callaway, Soldier's Joy, and Pretty Polly. Trevor remembers the effect it had on him.
When I heard that, it had this haunting sound to it. It sounded really old. It just kind of caught my attention.
Trevor was 8 years old when he began taking music lessons. At first, he began learning guitar. But after a few months, he wanted more of a challenge.
But after you learn the basics on guitar, you're just keeping time, especially with old time, unless you get into flat picking.
But then Trevor saw one of his friends playing a banjo at a local jam session in Marlinton. He remembered those old recordings of his great-grandfather and decided he had to learn the banjo.
I loved it, the sound of it. I told my mom that next week before my lesson, I told her I was sick because I didn't want to go.
His teacher, Pam Lund, saw through the ruse and said she would let him try her banjo if he came to the lesson. From the very first note, Trevor said playing the banjo came easily to him.
Whenever I picked up the banjo, it's like I flew away with it. It came so natural to me. I don't like to say, but I didn't have to try to play it.
His music teacher, Pam, didn't want to be interviewed for this story. She prefers to have the spotlight on Trevor, as she does with all her students. But Trevor's musical education would probably not have happened if not for her. When she moved to Pocahontas County in the 1970s, Pam learned the songs of the Hammonds family from other musicians who'd played with Lee and Sherman. She, in turn, taught the music to her young students, including Trevor.
Pam, if it wasn't for her, you know, I don't think I appreciate anybody more in this world than her, because I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for her.
Through Trevor, Pam has ensured that the legacy of the Hammonds music will continue within the Hammonds family. To lose that connection would be a big loss, says Carl Fleischhauer, a folklorist retired from the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. He says the Hammonds had unique talents. They excelled at their musical craft.
It's not exactly that they were different, and what they knew was different from other people. It was that, in a sense, it was more distilled and brought to a finer polish. Why is Rembrandt a better painter than the other painters who were active in Holland at that time? And the answer is, well, he's not different. He was just better than they were.
Fleischhauer and fellow folklorist Alan Jabour made numerous visits in the early 70s to Pocahontas County. They came to watch the Hammonds family play music. They asked for their permission to record them so they could preserve their songs. In 1973, they compiled these recordings into a double album recording for the Library of Congress. Today, it's considered the comprehensive album of the family's musical legacy. In 2019, Trevor taught a week-long course in banjo at the annual Allegheny Echoes Music Workshop Series in Marlinton.
Last year was my first year teaching Allegheny Echoes. If there's younger kids in there, and enjoyment I have just watching, you know, especially if they're interested, you know, they really want to actually learn, it's even more special watching them take it in.
Trevor is hoping to teach again this year. The camp, originally scheduled for late June, has been postponed until later in the year. In the meantime, Trevor says he hopes to be able to teach banjo to students over the internet to continue to pass on his musical knowledge to more people. He's also excited about playing his family's music at the West Virginia Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Charleston. That event, which had been scheduled for April, has now been rescheduled for November 14th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Heather Nyde in Marlinton, West Virginia.
That was is an excerpt from our latest Inside Appalachia Folkways story. To hear all of Trevor Hammond's story, tune in Sunday at 7 or Sunday evening at 6. Or listen to the Inside Appalachia podcast when it drops this afternoon. Learn more about our Folkways project and see videos from the series at wvpublic.org. When California quartet Dawes were touring in support of their acclaimed sophomore album, they made a stop for a now legendary mountain stage show in October 2011. Our song of the week is from Dawes and their performance of the final track from Nothing Is Wrong, a creative and emotional high mark for the band, A Little Bit of Everything.
With his back against the San Francisco traffic, on the bridge's side that faces towards the jail, setting out to join a demographic, he hoists his first leg up over the rail. Then a phone call's made, police cars show up quickly, and the sergeant slams his passenger door. He says, "Hey son, why don't you talk through this with me? Just tell me what you're doing it for." Oh, it's a little bit of everything. It's the mountains, it's the fog, it's the news at 6 o'clock, it's the death of my first dog, it's the angels up above me, it's the song that they don't sing, it's a little bit of everything. There's an older man who stands in a buffet line. He is smiling and he's holding out his plate. And the further that he looks back into his timeline, that hard road always led him to today, making up for when his bright future had left him, making up for the fact his only son is gone, and letting everything out once his server asks him, "Sir, have you figured out yet what it is you want?" I'll take a little bit of everything, the biscuits and the beans, whatever helps me to forget about these things that brought me to my knees. So pile on those mashed potatoes and an extra chicken wing, 'cause I'm having a little bit of everything. Somewhere a pretty girl is writing invitations for a wedding that she has scheduled for the fall. Her man says, "Baby, can I make an observation? You don't seem to be having any fun at all." She says, "You just worry about your groomsmen and your shirt size. And rest assured that this is making me feel good. I think that love can be so much easier than you realize if you can give yourself to someone that you should. 'Cause it's a little bit of everything.
That was Dawes performing A Little Bit of Everything live on Mountain Stage in October 2011. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.